Hi, good evening. I'm Corrine McCabe, also known as Kay, and I am hosting the call tonight for Real Girlfriends Across America. We are a company that has a foundation and mission to build lifelong friendships with women across the globe. We will be bringing you hot topics each night, and we are always on the lookout for new topics. Follow us on Facebook at Real Girlfriends Across America and head to our website, realgirlfriends.org. Now, tonight I have on the call with me Corrine, Tawanda, and a host of other girlfriends, and today our topic is going to explore business and the times. Now, this year, 2020, has been a very interesting year. I'm pretty sure that we can all agree. Now, prior to 2020, nearly all of us have had high hopes for the potential of this year. Even with the weight of the hopes of millions across the globe, it seems that trouble after trouble has descended. War, sickness, toilet paper famine, tragic and senseless deaths. We've hit June and many people might wonder if there are still more tragedies to come. Many people have lost jobs and many businesses have been shut down. So how do you survive in an atmosphere so caustic and difficult to survive in? Tonight, we're going to discuss 10 survival strategy techniques to make it through these tough times. Now, I want to ask you guys, I want to ask each and every one of you, first before we begin, what are your thoughts? What were your hopes and dreams for 2020? And how are things different now than what you thought they would have been? And we'll get started with caller 0261.
Sorry, I had to think about my phone number for a second. Okay.
Hi, Corrine.
Hello, it's Corrine. And I apologize, what was the question?
The question is, how is 2020, what were your hopes and dreams for 2020, and how are things different from what you would have hoped they might have been?
My whole year did change, so I definitely was doing something else before everything did end. I'm still doing my business, so I'm still doing that aspect, and so I'm able to work from home, so that part didn't change. But I was also dealing with a client that had event space. So me working with their event space, that ended because obviously the industry shut down. And at this moment, I'm not sure what they're going to do moving forward. I do have my own, things that I'm doing. So it did open up other lanes and other opportunities for me. So I managed and did what I needed to do to, deal with the changes.
That's good. That's good. Caller ending in 5834, your name and where you're calling from and your hopes and dreams for 2020 and how they're different now than what you would have thought.
This is Tawanda, and I'm kind of like Corrine. I'm not used to that last 4 digits of a number because I'm not sure what it is. I think that's the number. Well, yeah, this is Tawanda, and state is D.C. metro area, and it's so funny you asked that particular question because I was writing something today, and I was talking about the pandemic, and I was talking about how in November I was looking forward to the new year, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's not just going to be a new year. It's actually going to be a new decade, and normally around the first month of the year, I usually do the dream board and all this amazing things with different groups of people. And I was so super excited. And then when 2020 came, things just seemed a little funny. And after about 6 or 7 weeks into the new decade, we started hearing about the pandemic and so on and so forth. So it definitely put a huge damper on even now, being in June, because things are still modified. A lot of things are still closed. People are not really traveling. So what I've had to do is understand that life is about change. And I've had to readjust some different things and continue to move forward, which is what I was saying in the blog that I was writing earlier, that even though sometimes we travel down the road and, we get kind of turned around and things don't seem how we want it, we got to dust it off and reconfigure and replan, and we got to move on again. And that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. caller ending in 7302? Your name and where you're calling from?
It's Destiny, and I'm from Denver. So my dreams for 2020, well, I was really excited. I usually go to a lot of concerts during the year, and the fact that I was going to go see Tesla for my first time was super exciting, so I was super excited about that. And then, kind of like what Tawanda said, I heard about this pandemic and realized, you know, if I still want to continue singing and doing all this stuff with music and concerts, then I'm going to have to go to school and figure out how to make it happen for myself.
Very good. Very good. So it sounds like you guys have really positive outlooks on this, and I think that that's really important. Keeping a positive outlook is pretty much the number one thing that's going to keep you going through all of this. So we're going to go through the 10 survival techniques, and number one, here is the subject. It is budgeting, planning how much you need to survive. Now I'm going to ask you guys, think about it for a second. Do you budget, and have you had to budget because of the current state of the country? Corinne, go first.
I definitely have to budget because my income did change. So I had to adjust. I had to just be more resourceful and try to save as much as I could.
Okay. And how do you plan your budget?
Based on my needs, basically. So as long as my needs are met, then everything else I know will fall into place.
Have you had to cut back in any kind of way?
You know, I was already on a budget before it started, the pandemic started. So I had already cut back. So I guess not so much just because I had already started. So that part didn't affect me as much. I just maybe was more thoughtful about how I use things because, you know, everyone was saying that things were going to run out. So, you know, I was just mindful in that type of way.
Okay. What about you, Tawanda?
I think that I was on the call a few weeks ago talking about budgeting and finance. I'm not sure if you were hosting that call or not, but, well, I don't so much live on a budget per se. However, I am extremely conservative, and I've learned a long time ago just to get the different things that I need, because what's more important to me is building business and investing in things that I actually need. Even though the coronavirus has taken over and made a lot of us sit in the house, I haven't been affected, thank God, in reference to business and income, because I work from home, just like Corinne mentioned, and actually things have drastically increased because so much is definitely happening. So I'm very thankful that I didn't have that type of situation to be affected. However, I'm still mindful that because this thing is still not over and things are changing by the day, that there's so much uncertainty. So I'm still being very cautious and being very conservative. I get the things that I need because I focus on the future and not just really today.
Okay. Destiny?
Well, you know, I used to go to so many events and so many things like that. I really never got the chance to budget. Well, I wanted to budget, and I always said I would, but I never got the chance to. So I'm so much younger than you guys, so I'm learning now what it takes to budget. Since the coronavirus has started, I have to think about you know, how I'm going to pay for what I'm doing, and I have to keep a better track of a budget.
Mm-hmm. Have you had to cut back?
Yeah, definitely. Since things are closing now and whatever, I've definitely cut back. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For myself, I have, well, since I had to take over the finances when my husband passed away, I've had a budget. So prior to 2020, I had a budget, but I have definitely had to cut back, not so much for a lack of money, but because everything was shut down, kind of like what Destiny was saying. I used to go and, you know, do my little self-care routine, get my eyebrows done, get my, you know, nails done, whatever, and I couldn't do that anymore. Not because there wasn't the funds to do it, but because, you know, everything was shut down. So the cutting back was sort of like a forced situation.
Okay.
So we're going to move on to number two. And number two is to prioritize. The first question under prioritizing is, what expenses are the most important to you? What can you do without? And what can go on the back burner? So we're going to start with Corinne. What expenses are the most important to you? What can you do without, and what can go on the back burner?
The most important would definitely be my home. So paying my rent first and foremost, then paying for my utilities. What could be put on the – and I need the internet for survival, actually – in my phone, but what should be put on the back burner would be probably, I don't know, buying clothes that can be put on the back burner, and I can go without makeup.
Okay. Is there anything that you can do without completely?
Makeup. I can do without
makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Tawanda?
That is a good question, and like I said, I have to be conservative. So what's important, of course, is having a place to stay, getting around, have to have a vehicle and a cell phone. What can I cut back on? Travel, shopping, and spending so much money in the grocery store. Oh, who's laughing? Okay. So, you know, like sometimes we can go to the grocery store and get like the basic things that you need, and then sometimes you want to kind of splurge. But yeah, I don't have to do all that. I'm just really getting what is actually important.
Mhm. That's why it's bad for me to go to the grocery store when I'm hungry, because I get everything that I do not need. Okay. So, what can you do without, and what can go on the back burner?
I didn't realize I was on mute. Can you repeat it one more time?
Oh, I was asking Tawanda, but I believe, and I think maybe her line is on, might be on mute.
I thought I answered it. Yeah, what can go on the back burner is not spending so much in the grocery store. Travel can go on the back burner. And, oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. I said what was a necessity is having a place to stay, my car, of course, car insurance, like and my cell phone. As far as the internet, no, that can't be back when I gotta be on Wi-Fi. I use my hotspot, though.
This is true.
Oh, yeah, somebody said cable. Yeah, cable is definitely, well, Netflix is a necessity. Yeah. She said hair and nails. I don't know why she went down. She's trying to give me all these answers. Oh, yeah, but definitely. Hair and nails, absolutely. I can buy my own hair, and I can my nails. I can figure that out myself. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've been neglecting myself, though, but it's okay.
So me, I can obviously me for number one is the same thing, having a place to stay, so paying my rent. And probably my school would be up there. It's really important. But as you guys know, I'm blind, so I really don't have to, you know, have a car. So that one I can totally go on the back burner for. I can ask my husband for rides. I usually do anyway. And what I can go without, gee, that's pretty hard. I guess I've learned I can without concerts. I don't really like to, but I can go without them.
Is there does it make it more difficult for you some way if you don't have that?
It does, because I've always been, like I said, I've always been into music and hanging out with people and that sort of thing. But I have my school now, and that I definitely need. So I don't really know what I could go without.
Okay. All right. Well, for myself, I'm going to, you know, jump in that wagon with everyone else when I say that, you know, housing is the most important. I need a place to stay, whether it's a house or something for rent or a hotel. I need a roof over my head, especially because I have a child. So that's number one for me. Got to have a place to stay. Food. I don't think I would like being without food for very long. I would not be a happy person. I absolutely must have internet. It doesn't matter where in the world I am. I have to have internet. That is how I survive. I have to have my phone. I have to have a car. And utilities are definitely important. Those are the main basic needs. What I can do without, I can do without television, meaning cable. And I learned this after I started streaming TV online first through a provider. I can't remember their name right now. But I learned that I could do without cable by cutting the cord. And then I got rid of them when I found out I could get most of my very basic needs, such as the news, on YouTube. So I don't really need TV. I can do without TV completely. I can do without cable completely. And what can go on the back burner? Well, I've had to put my pedicures on the back burner. It didn't make me happy. My feet aren't happy, but there it is. So, so we're going to move on to number three. And number three is to plan. Create a financial plan to know just how much funds you will need, not only to survive, but also to multiply your funds. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard the saying, pay yourself first. This is a phrase that I first came across after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, written by Robert Kiyosaki. And it's kind of crazy because I understand the concept a little bit of paying yourself first, just in terms of investing and saving and things like that. But the idea of pay yourself first that Robert Kiyosaki discussed in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, was sort of I don't want to say a new concept. It's just I'd never thought of it in that light. And I want to throw that to you guys to think, to discuss what you guys think about it. Creating a financial plan, how do you plan, and how do you pay yourself first? And in the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki and his wife told their financial advisor to basically put 30% of everything that they made into an account specifically to pay for things that would make them more money. So, for example, say if they got a $1,000 check, $300 of that went towards an account that they would put in simply to pay for things that would make them more money. Now, whether these were investments, whether these were properties, whatever it was, 30% of everything that they made. And their financial advisor would freak out because, you know, they had debt. How do you pay all this debt when you're taking 30% of your income and sticking it somewhere? Well, what they did was that they worked more and made more money. So I want to throw that idea out to you guys to think, to hear your thoughts on that. How do you plan? How do you create a financial plan? And what do you think about the idea of paying yourself first? Corinne, you go first.
I do like the idea of paying yourself first. And I think in terms of if I want to pay myself first, I set up my lifestyle so that I can afford to do that. So of course, if you're struggling to paycheck to paycheck, and if paying all your bills means that you stay with $5, then you stay with $5 because the most important part is to make sure that you take care of yourself. But if you're in a situation where you are able to pay yourself first, I think that you should be putting that money that you're paying yourself into savings instead of, like, treating yourself. So that you should be doing that first, making sure all your obligations are taken care of, and then doing whatever leisure or activity you do for pleasure.
So in what ways do you try to apply that kind of thinking?
I would say by just trying to make sure that I, like, spend consciously and just make sure that all my obligations are taken care of first.
Very good. Tawanda, how about you?
I want to ditto what Corinne said, because as a single woman that's not married, that doesn't have any children, with me, I have this philosophy, and I say to singles all the time, hey, we can just be the richest people in the world, especially if you don't have any kids or you don't have high expenses or if you're not, what's that saying, living on a champagne taste with a beer budget. I am extremely conservative, and I do believe in saving. I do have a financial advisor that helps me with getting the plan in place. I don't really so much follow a budget, but that's because what I do is very basic. I know what my monthly bills and expenses are. I know different things and different times I'm going to splurge every quarter, et cetera, et cetera. And I do live below my means now. And I say now because there was a period of time to where I was killing them credit cards and doing all these kind of things that I definitely could not afford. And then I got some sense and I started realizing what my priorities was and what I had to actually do. And based on those, that has helped me live below my means and not necessarily live on a budget, but actually live and get only things I really, really need, because I'm looking forward to the future and the bigger goals that I have and that I'm going to need to be able to have money for.
That's a good idea. I like what you said. It reminds me of some of the planning that I've done for myself ever since I read Robert Kiyosaki's book, because again, everyone knows pretty much the idea of saving and making sure you have a retirement fund and all of that. But the concept of actually paying yourself money, like making sure you get paid and that money is yours, it's yours to do, you know, to make yourself more money, that was sort of a new concept to me. And it was really intriguing to me. And I started trying to put it, you know, attempting to put it in practice after reading his book. And, So I think that that's something that if it's possible for you to do, then it should, not only should it be done, I think it's necessary in order to increase your finances, because it's impossible to get ahead in the world that we live in. If you don't have multiple streams of income, you're just not going to be able to succeed and thrive. Not in this atmosphere, not anymore. It's just not possible. And so it's really important to make sure that you have multiple streams of income. And one of the major ways of doing that is making sure that you have enough money to invest in things that are going to make you more money. So I think that that's a really important concept, and I really enjoyed reading that in his book. So I myself, my part of my financial planning is that I try to put 30% of what I make aside toward things that will make me more money. And whether that's investing or a retirement plan, whatever it is, that's what that money goes for. Number four is strategize each step. Turn each step of your plan into a bite-sized piece of the greater whole. The smaller each step is, the less likely you will feel overwhelmed and the more likely you will feel productive. So say, for example, you have a plan to, and I don't know what your plan is. You might have a plan to buy a house. You might have a plan to move into a bigger apartment. You might have a plan to, save $20,000, whatever it is. How do you turn each step of your plan into a bite-sized piece of the greater whole so that you don't feel overwhelmed with the magnitude of your plan and slack off? Corinne, you go first.
I think that the way that I break it down into, like, actionable, like, steps is just by thinking about the bigger picture of my goal, like, the end goal, and just breaking it down into feasible parts. So obviously, you have to take certain steps to get to any end point. So I just try to think about each step that I need to take to get to that end point.
Right. Do you make a practice of strategizing each step of your goals? Is that something that you do, or do you use a different method?
What I do place certain things that are more important over other tasks. Yeah, so I do that.
When you do that, is it effective in helping you to accomplish your goals? And if not, what method do you use that works for you?
I believe it's effective. I believe if you prioritize what's important and choose to go after what's important, just choosing the best method to get there. And if you don't succeed, you can always multitask, so you can always have more than one thing going on. And just maybe sometimes put more energy into one other thing because there's only so many hours in a day.
Right.
So, you can prioritize that way. And I'm usually multi-tasking, I'm multi-juggling multiple things. So I'm used to that type of day-to-day and that type of lifestyle.
Okay. Awesome. Tawanda, you there? Do you strategize each step of your goals? And if so, how effective is it in helping you accomplish your goals? And if you don't, what method do you use that works for you?
My life is about strategy. I really don't do anything without one. And it's actually very effective. I'm a thinker, and I like to think. I like to create. I like to weigh the pros and cons. I've had people all my life tell me, oh, you think too much, or you overthinking it. And I'm like, I'd rather overthink it than not think about it at all or underthink it. I like to look at the pros, the cons, a left, right, front, back, side, middle. And then I like to proceed just because, of course, we watch a lot of television, but I just believe that when you're strategic and you know actually what you want, what you need to actually do, it helps us become more effective and get the results that we want. And even if we don't get the results we want, we know that we didn't just do something off the whim. We still looked at every possibility to be able to win.
Right, right. I totally agree with that. I think that strategizing each step is very important because when you have goals, if you have big goals, the larger the goal is, the more steps there are to reach that goal, right? So, for example, I moved here to Wisconsin, but in order to move to Wisconsin, I had to have enough money. I had to make sure that my car was ready, road ready. I had to make sure that all of my things were packed. Like, each step that it took to get to Wisconsin was a smaller step in the larger part of that goal. So you do have to strategize if you want to be successful to reach the goals that you're creating for yourself. All right, so we're going to look at number five, and this one is create contingency plans, and this is what I call always have a backup. And I was talking to Tawan about this the other day. I consider myself the backup queen. So the question is this: do you create backup plans? Because guess what? Sometimes your plans are not going to work out. In the best of worlds, no one's plans always work out, right? There's something that's always going to happen to throw a wrench in the woodwork. So what do you do to create backup plans?
Who are you asking?
Hello, Kay.
I can go. I create backup plans by just basically, like, if depending on, like, the goal that I'm trying to go after, I try just to focus on the goal, and my backup plan more or less is the how I'm going to alter that goal. Because if I'm going after it and I'm working for it so hard, that means I believe in it. So because I believe in it, it's going to succeed in my mind. So because we're not perfect, I know that if I don't succeed necessarily, it doesn't mean that it's not a bad idea. It just means that I didn't maybe execute it correctly, or maybe I just need to adjust it in little ways to make it that more successful.
And, you know, I can ditto that. See, because I am the exact same way. I had a few people before, a few friends, and I would say something to them in reference to what's plan B, and people get pissed off when you ask about what's plan B. But I'm like, yeah, okay, your backup plan, your alternate plan, your second plan, and plan B, well, to me, plan B is not, oh, I'm going to give myself a way out if plan A doesn't work. But just like Kay was saying, like, what's the alternative? So I am exactly the same way. And I'm the type of person also, I know that, number one, a delay does not mean a denial. It still can happen. It just may not happen how I want it to or when I want it to. And for two, sometimes we got to improvise. Sometimes you can't get 10, you just got to get 5 for right now. Maybe you can get 3 more later. So I'm definitely all about improvising as well. And even there was something that I wanted to do like in December of last year, and I really wasn't able to do it until like around March. And I talked to a friend of mine, and she said, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you still were going to do that. And I said, well, why not? It was delayed, but it wasn't going to stop me from doing it. And that's just an example of what I mean. Sometimes when people can't do, like, quote-unquote, what they actually want to do when they want to do it, they just might not do it at all. But if you're serious about it, you really, really want it, you're going to find a way to make it happen.
I think so. That's how I live my life. I definitely go after what I want, and I figure out a way to make it happen.
Right. So when I go ahead and create backup plans, what I do is I try to make sure, A, that I have enough money to do it, B, that I have somebody that I can lean on for support in the event of an emergency, and C, if there is no other way to overcome the situation, how can I flow with the situation? So that's kind of how I create my backup plan. So we're going to move on to number 6, to stay positive. This can be difficult, but staying positive is essential when you are pushing through difficult times. Depression can and will weigh you down, sap your energy and resolve, and make it feel as though everything is impossible and nothing will get better. So what actions do you guys take to stay positive? Do you surround yourself with positive messaging? Do you get therapy or medical assistance to address any mental health needs? Do you listen to positive messaging? What do you do to stay positive? Corinne, you go first.
I surround myself with positive people. I try not to watch negative programming. Well, I try because I do watch reality TV. But I try to actually, like, take a positive approach on the majority of things in life. And what I do to try to keep a positive attitude.
What about you, Tawanda?
I really know everything that she said. And just to elaborate, that associations are everything. So I make sure I keep positive and progressive people around me. Personal development is also everything. Feeding my mind daily, and anything and all things that are positive, as well as having a balanced life, doing self-care and self-love and all those positive things to get good energy and to give good energy. Those are the things that continue to keep me going.
All right. So what I do to try and stay positive is I try to listen to, what is it called? You know, those people on YouTube that give you encouraging messages. and motivational speakers, that's what they're called. I listen to a lot of motivational speakers. I listen to, what is his name, Les Williams or Les something? And Bob
Les
Proctor.
Brown.
Les Brown. Thank you, Tawanda. Les, I could not remember his name. I listen to Les Brown.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he's awesome. I don't know if you've heard that. Of course, I know you've heard that one speech he did about being hungry.
That's my favorite
right?
one. And actually, I got a friend that allowed me to talk to him today, too. So I'll be telling you about that later. But yeah, he's incredible.
What? You spoke to Les Brown today?
via a conference call about a magazine. Yes, ma'am. But anyway, that's another story. Go
wow.
ahead.
Okay, okay. I'm excited. Anyway, so this is what I do to try and stay positive. I listen to motivational speakers. I try to read positive things, whether it's inspirational quotes, whether it's scripture, listening to positive music, listening to things that are going to get me going and get me excited and productive and on the road. Sometimes it can be hard, you know, sometimes it gets stressful, but you really do have to stay positive. Otherwise, you can get bogged down. And for those out there who are struggling with staying positive, you're struggling with, you know, depression or anxiety or any type of mood disorder, it is really, really important that you get yourself the assistance that you need, whether it's a therapy group or a therapist, a counselor, a psychiatrist, whatever it is, you need to make certain that you take care of yourself so that you can get the assistance that you need, because sometimes you get so deep in it that it's hard to get out by yourself, and sometimes it can become impossible to get out by yourself, so you need to get that assistance to make sure that you stay safe and healthy. And that will lead us into our number 7, get support. It's important to remember that none of us is an island. No one can walk this life completely alone, whether it's friends, family, a group, therapy, a support network, or a religion. We all need some type of support that will help us through our most. So the question here is, do you have a network of support? How do you reach out for support when you need it? Corinne, you go first.
Maybe I don't like I should. I have like maybe one or two people that I would confide in. But I don't necessarily do.
So that when you're down or you need to vent, like what do you do to keep yourself healthy and staying okay?
Well, confiding in the two people that I do trust.
Okay, so if you have one or two people, that's still a network of support. Like whether it's one person or two people, as long as you have someone that you can go to, that's still considered a network of support, right?
Yeah.
So do you make sure that you do reach out for support when you need it, or do you sort of tough it out like, oh, I can do this? Because I do that sometimes.
It depends on the situation. I usually thug it out and just basically wait until I resolve it in my own head, and then I'll share.
Okay, okay. Tawanda, what about you? Do you have a network of support, and how do you reach out for support when you need it?
I'm thugging it out 95% of the time. Really, and really because, we talked about friendships one time, being a giver, being a taker, having balanced friendships. Number one, people are really going through stuff themselves. Number two, people are apathetic. Number three, sometimes people don't even know how to really listen. So I just kind of, I pace myself. I think about it. I plan. And I just normally figure it out. Every now and then, I will maybe call someone or text someone and kind of vent or complain, but that really doesn't happen too often. I've just never been that type of person. I mean, I think it's good to have. I think it's good to even do. I'm just not. That's just really not my thing, though. Not that often.
Okay. Okay. So what do you do? You said you tough it out. You don't. There's not even one person that you should go to in a time of need. Oh, you thug
you
it out.
What now?
Nice. So there's not one person that you can think of that you would go to in a time of need?
Oh, no, there's a couple. There's probably about two or three people that I would go to if I had to. But normally, with me being the oldest of three children, with living how I've lived and just coming from a certain type of family, I've always been that person that people depend on, regardless of what is happening in the world with everyone else. Hey, we know that you're good. We know that you're okay. So you kind of become immune to it, if that makes sense. So there's probably maybe like one, two, or three people that I would go to with something if I really had to. But I really want to do it by myself, preferably. Probably not the healthiest way. It just kind of works for me.
Got you. I think that over time, I think I used to have a larger network of support, but over time I have learned to be more self-sufficient because experiences have taught me that, you know, sometimes in the time of your deepest need, people will fail you. So I've had to become far more self-sufficient than I have been in my past. And while it can be painful to experience that, you know, when you really need some help, no one's there and you sort of have to, like Tawanda says, thug it out. That can be a painful experience the first couple times you go through it because you're expecting, well, I've been there for these people or I've been there for all these people. Why is no one there for me? So that can be a painful experience the first time you go through it. And then you just sort of build up armor and you get over it and you just keep pushing. So I do have one or two people that I can go to. And at the same time, I don't make that my end all be all of the backup plans because, you know, like Tawanda said, people have their own problems. People have their own issues. I do try to reach out for support if I need it, but I never say, okay, I'm going to go to this one person and if they can't help me, I'm screwed. I don't do that. I'll go to three different people and see which one of them can help me. And if they all can help me, then I'll choose, you know, the one that I know is going to have my back the most over, you know, someone who might resent me for asking for the help. Because you also have to keep that in mind. Some people will feel like you owe them, and you want to be able to pay people back or to respond in kind. But some people will almost hold a grudge against you for helping you. So you want to be mindful of that, too. So we're going to move on to number six.
I'm going to go to break really quickly.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do that.
Hello, this is Corinne with today's new training story. On a positive note, Raven Simone introduced the world to her wife. The 34-year-old Raven Simone recently privately got married to her girlfriend Miranda Made. Congrats to the happy new couple, and happy Father's Day to the dads out there. Now back to you.
Okay, thank you for that break, Corinne. That was a bit of news there. When I first heard of it, I was surprised. I didn't know Raven had gotten married. So congratulations to Raven and best wishes. So number eight, we're going to go to grab any and every opportunity. There is no shortage of opportunities to make money and succeed out there. While it may seem that there is a lack, especially in 2020 when there are no jobs, businesses are shutting down, there really isn't a lack, trust me. There's only the absence of a desire to do tasks that are available to do. I'm going to repeat that. There is no lack. There is only the absence of a desire to do tasks that are available to do. Remember, survival is for the fittest, those who adapt in times of adversity. Sometimes adapting can mean taking on tasks that you would never want to take in times of prosperity. I'm going to give an example. For example, in times of prosperity, I wouldn't think of maybe, you know, cleaning someone's house. Not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just simply because I don't enjoy cleaning houses. It's not my favorite thing to do. I would rather do almost anything else. So that wouldn't be a task that I would enjoy doing. However, if push comes to shove and it's going to put food in my child's mouth and pay my bills, then I'm going to do that task in order to make the money to survive. And so we have to develop a mentality in these tough times when work is hard to find that we are going to be willing, whether we like it or not or enjoy it or not, if push comes to shove and we're up against the wall, we have to be willing to do tasks that will put food on the table in order to survive. So what do you guys think about that mentality? In times of struggle, have you searched for any and every opportunity? Are there things that you would never do? Are you willing to work jobs that you might not like in order to prosper? What are your thoughts on grabbing every opportunity? Corinne?
Yeah, I have worked in jobs I didn't like in the past. I think that, like, just especially when you don't have experience, so you just have to take whatever is presented to you and just work your way up. Or if you're in a position where, like I was, I had just moved and I just took basically whatever was offered to me. And obviously I'm not going to turn down the opportunity to make money. So I worked there until I was able to find something better, and then I moved on. So I definitely believe in taking every opportunity, especially if you don't have anything going on for yourself at that moment.
Right, right. I completely agree with that mentality. One of the things that I challenged myself, it was a challenge to myself, and this was after listening to a speech from Bob Proctor, where he talked about how he first started making money after living through a long time of serious debt. He started cleaning floors and became a millionaire cleaning floors. And so after listening to his speech, I challenged myself to have the mentality, I'm going to try new things that I might not normally do or that I can't do right now, or teach myself to do them, so that I can have that mentality of being willing to grab onto every opportunity. I recently learned how to paint a room. Never painted a room in my life. I know how to paint one now. Why did I do that? Because I'm willing to grab every opportunity to learn a new skill in order to take the chance to make some money. Tawanda, what about you?
I do that because when I think about life, I've always done what I had to do to be able to live. I was 14 years old, and well, I'm from South Carolina. We used to, people may not be familiar with this, we used to work in the tobacco field. I didn't do it too long, but guess what? I did it. And then when I was about, I think, 15 or 16, I worked at a hotel in housekeeping. I got fired like 2 weeks later, but I still attempted to do the job. And I'm always willing to do whatever I have to. It doesn't matter. Like, sometimes people may say, well, you know what? I remember one time I was looking for a new job. I was in between jobs or something, and I ended up getting a job at a convenience store. And my dad said, girl, you're a college graduate. You're working at a convenience store? He was so embarrassed. And I said, I need money. I need a check. I don't even care. And that's how I am. I don't care. I don't care about status quo. I don't care about degrees. I need to be able to make sure that I make money so I can be able to live. So as long as it's legal, as long as it's ethical, and I need to do it, you better believe I'm going to do it.
There you go. And I think that that's how, especially how you were saying the other day, how we need to have that mindset in order to secure the bag and be boss chicks. A boss chick is willing to learn the skills that she needs and do what tasks she needs to do to not just survive.
Yes, ma'am.
But
absolutely.
Yep. So 9 is level up. We need to level up. And you do this by seeking out mentors, people who are on the level that you're aspiring to be, and people who are working toward higher goals. Now, what are the ways that you can level up? Do you seek out people who are on the level that you aspire to be? Do you seek out people who will encourage you? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Do you seek out people who will encourage you and are working toward higher goals? Corinne, you go first.
Yeah, I actually seek out like-minded people. So, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be in a stature like that's above me. It doesn't hurt to have people in your circle that are above you so that you can see that it is to that level. But I'm more concerned about people that are like-minded.
When you find these people, do you learn from them, or do you guys have like interactive experiences where you're teaching each other, you encourage each other? What is that interaction like?
Typically, I definitely want to be around people that I can learn from as well. I mean, I'm always open to teach anyone anything that I may know of that could be beneficial to them. But yeah, I definitely can learn something every day from anyone.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Tawanda?
I definitely ditto what she said. Leveling up is definitely mandatory and non-negotiable. I learn from everything and everyone. I tell people all the time I am a sponge, literally. So I'm all about positivity, good associations. I'm all about smart people. Yes, absolutely. Leveling up, learning, growing, feeding my mind daily, all that. Yes, ma'am.
There you go. I think that that is so important because the people who you surround yourself with are what you are going to mirror, right? Because birds of a feather flock together. We know that saying very well. If you surround yourself with people who are on a low level, whatever it is, they're doing drugs, they're, you know, or maybe they're just negative. Maybe they're not doing drugs. Maybe they're just negative and they see only the negative side of life. Guess what? Pretty soon your mentality is going to be negative, right? Pretty soon all you're going to see is the bad side of life. Why? Because that's all you're hearing. What you are around is what you will start to mirror. And what you are inside is what you will attract to you. That's what, something that we need to keep in mind. It's called the law of attraction. This is something else that Bob Proctor talks about in his speech. And if you guys ever have the chance to listen to him, I highly recommend him. Highly recommend him. His law of attraction is seriously deep. What you have inside of you and in your thoughts is what you are going to attract to you. Thoughts become things. So we have to be very, very careful what we're thinking. We have to be very, very careful who we are around and what we are attracting to us, what we surround ourselves with. We have to be careful with that. Number 10 is a repeat. Pay yourself first. And this is a repeat because it is so extremely important. You need to pay yourself first. Whether you are able to put $5, like Corinne said, or $100, you know, that's a whole lot of money in some cases, especially if you're taking out a percentage of what you make. But whether it's $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever it is, you need to set that aside because if you want to get ahead, you need to be able to have money to invest in things or whatever it is, a product, an idea, a business, an investment, whatever it is, you need to be able to have the money to do that in order to get ahead financially. So I'm going to open up the floor to you guys if you have any other thoughts that you would like to add to that.
I just want to say, like, the different questions that you asked me, this is Tawanda, It's always good for me to talk to other smart people, to think about stuff, and just really confirmations of things that I'm already doing. And I know a lot of times when you share information, you have the facts and the statistics, and I'm like, okay, I'm on the right path. I'm making progress. And then more importantly, okay, to be able to network and mastermind with other women that's on the move, like, that is a breath of fresh air. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say thank you to both of you guys and to all the girlfriends who listen in because you guys have been an encouragement to me. And the two of you especially, you guys help me level up. You guys pretty much keep me accountable to my – and so I want to thank you guys too.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Everyone, pretty much that is all for tonight. I want to appreciate you all who dialed in, and I appreciate our listeners. I want to turn things temporarily over to Corinne for any announcements.
Only announcements that I have is to please follow us on all our social media platforms and make sure to share this podcast with anyone that you know. Again, we're on Spotify, Anchor, we're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. We're on a number of platforms, and look out for any updates.
Awesome. So please tune in with us again tomorrow. We will be discussing another awesome topic. Again, I am Kay, and until next time, stay safe.